If you'd like to read with us in our lesson text this morning, I'm going to read four verses from the book of Mark, chapter 4. Chapter 3, the book of Mark, chapter 3. Some time ago, you probably won't recall, we studied a lesson together on the family of Jesus, the natural family. We talked about a little bit about his mother, his brothers, and his sisters, and a little bit about his childhood, though we know so very little about it. This morning we want to focus upon a different facet of his family. Begin reading at verse 31 of Mark chapter 3. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. You know, it's a wonderful blessing in life to have a loving, supportive family, where husband and wife truly love one another, and where parents and children truly support each other. And it's been mentioned recently several times, and it's no great secret that such families are becoming increasingly rare in our society. The alarming number of single-parent households is on the increase, and is definitely not a good thing. The erosion of the family, the erosion of our society is due in large part to the decay of the family as we used to know it. Such families are becoming increasingly rare, complicated by cohabitation before marriage, individuals who live together in the marriage relationship having not said their vows before God and man, complicated by divorce, which separates and kills a great part of the family relationship, and sometimes family relationships are severed, something we can't control, through the aspect of death. Children suffering from parents who don't love each other and who don't care many times for even the children. But a happier note, there is a family where love and support is available to everyone, and where the relationships need never end. We know that many family relationships end because of death, because of divorce, because of different circumstances. As we're reminded of this wonderful family in our text, verse 34, he looked round about on those who sat about him, and he said, Behold, my brothers and my sister and my mother, these are the ones. Not so much my mother, my brothers, and my sisters who are without, who want to see me, but these who have heard me are my family. Jesus uses the occasion of his earthly family in our text, those who sought to talk with him, and he makes the point about what I determine and what I submit to you is his true family. Just two basic points in the lesson this morning, and we're going to go through them rapidly to stay within our time frame this morning. As we note the identity of his family, not so much his physical family, including his mother, his earthly father, Joseph, and his brothers, who are enumerated for us in Mark chapter 6, verse 3. James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, and his sisters, who are not named by name, but we know that they were sisters, plural. Even at age 12, Jesus knew who his real father was, because in Luke, the second chapter, verse 48 and 49, do you remember when the parents, along with Jesus, had gone to Jerusalem to observe the Passover feast? And as they were leaving to go back home, well, what happens? They left the young lad there, unknowingly, of course. And when they sought him out, he was there to be found in the synagogue, talking with those who were supposedly more learned in the scriptures. And he said to them, when they said, "Son, why have you let us go away without you?" And he says to them, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" So he already recognized and set forth to them, not my father Joseph, but my heavenly Father. Also, I'd like to note that Jesus did not undervalue his physical family. They were very important to him. Remember at the cross, as he hung there, suspended between heaven and earth, and he looked down and seeing, in the words of the scripture, the disciple whom Jesus loved, and also seeing his mother with her. And he said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." And he said to the disciple whom Jesus loved, that we believe is John, "Son, behold thy mother." And the scripture reveals from that day forward, the disciple took Mary to his home and cared for her. So he did value his physical family. But even more so, his true family, those who do his Father's will. Verse 35 of our text, "Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, my mother." Remember in part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." It's not enough to call upon him as the Lord if he's not really our Lord. "But he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven." And this is what he says, the same thing that he says in verse 35 of our text. The person who does the will of God is the person who is a family member of Jesus the Christ. And we are the ones who are truly blessed. In Luke, the 11th chapter, Jesus had been teaching the multitude, and it seems that just out of the blue, these words are spoken. "It came to pass, as he said these things, that a certain woman of the company," just an average woman there in the audience listening to his teaching, "lifted up her voice and said, 'Blessed is the mother who bore you and nursed you.' But he said, 'No.'" That doesn't mean that she wasn't blessed. She was. Isn't that one of the things that some of our religious friends go through? "Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit." You know, Jesus dispels that. You know, we're not to say that. "Blessed is the mother who bore you and nursed you." But Jesus says, no. Rather, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." That mean his mother was unimportant to him? Oh, no. I'm sure he had great love for her. But even more so, Jesus' mothers, in a sense, who do his word and keep it. The true family. At the time, thinking about the many blessings that we enjoy being a part of the true family of Jesus Christ. Number one, we are a part of a family that has divine written all over it. God is our Father, the one who hears our prayers. part of the Sermon on the Mount again from Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Jesus tells the people how to pray. Don't pray as the hypocrites do, standing in the synagogues, standing in the street corners so that people can see them. But he said, when you pray, you go into your closet, you close the door, you pray in secret, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. We have a Heavenly Father who answers our prayers, being part of the true family of Jesus Christ. We have one who provides our basic needs. Remember when the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray? And Jesus said, pray ye after this manner. And it's the what some people call the Lord's Prayer. It's really a misnomer. It's more the exemplary prayer or the prayer by example. We are to pray in this manner, but not actually that say those words. We're taught in the exemplary prayer that he cares for us, that we're to ask him to give us our daily needs. Verse 11, chapter 6, give us this day our daily bread. Also, that we're to recognize later on in the chapter that he clothes us. He cares for the grass of the field. He clothes that. Even more so will he clothe you and I. He cares for our basic needs. He cares for the food that we eat, the water we drink, the houses that we live in, the clothes we wear. He cares for all of those things. We have someone being a part of the true family of God who is able to bless us and sustain us with those things. Do we recognize what a true privilege it is to be a part of the family of Jesus Christ? We have one who is able, being part of the family of Christ, to forgive us our sins. I can forgive when you sin against me, but I can't forgive my own sins. Chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus in the model prayer says, forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, as we forgive our debtors. And also the one who delivers us from the evil one. We can take certain steps to stay away from the evil one, but we can't actually deliver our own selves. In chapter 6, verse 13, in the model prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Not only do we enjoy the Heavenly Father being part of the family of Christ, but we enjoy Jesus Christ as our elder brother, as our high priest. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 12, that he's thrilled. He's to call us his brothers and his sisters. What does the Hebrew writer say? He's not ashamed to call them brethren. And I was thinking that we need to live in a way to maintain that relationship so that he always is unashamed to call us brother and sister. And thirdly, we have the one that we often forget about. We have Christ, we have God the Father, and we have the Holy Spirit. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said in Romans chapter 8, verse 25, verse 26, likewise the Spirit helps our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Berkeley says, with sighs that are too deep for words. And sometimes, not only the brethren here, but sisters in your private prayers, do we grope for words sometimes? Perhaps the proper things to say to the Lord as we pray. We have the comfort of the Spirit as well. The Spirit itself makes intercession for our groanings with groanings which cannot be uttered. He substitutes words for us that are acceptable to God. And also, we want to note that being a part of the family of Jesus Christ makes us a part of an immense number of people. Jesus says, a hundredfold family members. So many members that we can't count. Remember what Peter said, Lord, we've forsaken all to follow you. We've forsaken mother and father and brother and sister, and we've forsaken houses and lands. And Jesus said to him, Peter, you haven't left anything. He said, why, in order to follow me, you've gained mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, houses and lands. You've gained all of these things. You haven't lost anything. You've been the beneficiary. And that's in Mark chapter 10, verse 28 through verse 30, and we don't have time to read those verses. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, the first couple of verses there, the chapter starts out, "Rebuke not an elder," and he's not talking about the office of an elder, but he's talking about an elder person, specifically an elder man, an elder male. "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father." In the family of Jesus Christ, of which we are part of, we have many father figures. One earthly father, but many father figures. That's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? And I don't know how long you've been a member of the church, but think about being a member early in the church and growing up, and individuals that you could relate to as perhaps a father figure in the church. Someone besides your earthly father, but someone that you had a great deal of confidence in, who was older than you were, and you really valued them being a part of the group. He goes on to say in this same verse, the younger men, treat them as brethren, treat them as brothers. The older women, treat them as mothers. How many mother figures have you had in the church? And the younger as sisters with all purity. The immense number of people that we have that we can enjoy. And I was thinking, also, this extends to the members of every faithful congregation, both here and abroad, individuals that we will never know being a part of their family. Indeed, the whole family in heaven and on earth. And think about this, every Christian living or dead is a member of that family. We know that, and I mentioned before, that physical ties in a family are severed at death. We know that. Jesus' spiritual family looks forward to eternal inheritance. Jesus' family is the only one that will endure throughout eternity. In this life, you won't always have your earthly father, your earthly mother, your earthly siblings, but your spiritual family you will always, always have. And winding up our lesson, the true family of Jesus is great indeed because it's a spiritual family that involves both deity, both the Godhead, and a countless number of souls. It's a family that's everlasting, untainted by divorce and death that taints our fleshly families, our earthly families today. And the requirements to become a member of that family are the same as they were when Christ first revealed them to us. And they're simple, and they're requirements that anyone can adhere to. The great blessing that we have being a member of the family of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening. We'll take the time now to observe the supper. As Jesus had met with his disciples for the purpose of observing the Passover feast, I know that he already had in mind the introduction to them of this great memorial feast that we have before us. The emblems are very simple and yet ought to be very informative to us. As we reflect upon the bread to us by faith, his body that was broken for us at Calvary, and the cup, his blood that was shed for our sins. And prior to our partaking, I'm going to ask Brother Josh to give thanks for the bread.
Father, we come to you now as we take part in this memorial. We ask you that we take this bread in remembrance of your son's death upon the cross, in a manner pleasing unto you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.